Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world. But to welcome to the program this week four distinctive and diverse personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right. We have great pleasure in welcoming back that outstanding comedian and fine exponent of this game, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, we have a representative of the distaff side, that lovely actress and comedy performer, Sue Perkins. And seated on my left, we have another most irrepressible, engaging comedian and presenter, that is Graham Norton. And beside him, another fine comedy performer and a comedy writer, Tony Hawkes. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Colston Hall in that fine city of Bristol. And as you can hear, we have a fine Bristol audience in front of us here. Oh, I know this town well, a city from my youth. And they're all just eager and ready for us to get started.
Are they from Northumberland?
So we'll start with Graham Norton. Why not? Oh, Graham, we've got a subject here for you to start with, because last time you were in Just a Minute, you went off at some length about monkeys. So the producer have sorted this subject for you to start the show. Brass monkeys. Could you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Although brass monkeys are not as cute or entertaining as real monkeys when having a tea party, they are undoubtedly easier to clean. Take an old bit of curtain and a can of Brasso to an actual chimp. They won't thank you, no. In fact, it will turn into an incident of carnage. And they have teeth, those chimps. But that's not brass monkeys. No.
Sue Perkins challenge.
Was there repetition of chimps?
Yes, you did talk about the chimps.
Was it
before.
Chimp and chimps?
You said chimpanzees before, didn't you?
No, you said chimp and then chimps.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, that.
You get these sharp challenges from those who play the game a lot. No, it was chimp and chimps, so it's a single and a plural. So he wasn't repeating anything. Graham is an incorrect challenge. You point to you and you keep the subject, and there are 39 seconds still available. Brass monkeys starting now.
On boats in the olden days, brass monkeys were what you put your cannonballs on. And when it was cold, something would happen. I don't really understand it. And those things that you would put in a cannon, which is different from the other thing I said, because that's all one word, I'm pretty sure, they'd fall off. Hence the expression...
Tony Hawkes' challenge.
I thought he was hesitating, but I don't know, think he did.
No, I think he was going. I know, don't think so. No? Sue Perkins, you want...
Did he put something in twice?
Yes, he did.
Is that a fair cop, Graham? No.
But you know Graham's
nature. Anyone thinks I'm listening to myself. I don't know.
Sue, he did, but your challenge came too late because Tony's first was an incorrect one.
So... Yeah.
Can I change mine to repetition of put?
No, it's too late now, sorry. So, Graham, another incorrect challenge, another point to you. Keep going on brass monkeys for 19 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Brass monkeys, look at them shine as they fly through the trees. It is very rare to see them.
Sue, challenge.
How exactly does a brass monkey fly?
Right.
A brass monkey. You throw
it. Graham, that is perfectly possible, but I think logically Sue's challenge is correct. In other words, she has the benefit of the doubt and no.
Don't turn on me now.
In talking. Listen, audience, don't be too partisan. To justify my decision, he did not justify during the round that you throw it to a point to fly through the trees. He didn't justify it. That was after she had challenged.
Yeah,
so it is entirely
audience.
Fair that Sue Perkins has the thing. And if you're going to start making those sort of noises, there'll be problems. Right, so, Sue, you have the subject of brass monkeys. 14 seconds, starting now.
Whilst walking through the jungle, I was hit on the head by what appeared to be a flying monkey. I was...
Graham challenge.
This is nonsense.
Graham, it may seem nonsense, but she did preface it by saying what appeared to be a flying monkey.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You so see again, where you went wrong?
Yes.
So
I'm a fool.
We have to be fair to Sue again, say a point for you for a correct challenge, Sue. 9 seconds on brass monkeys starting now.
However ridiculous it was, at the end of this projectile of a chimpanzee nature, I noticed Graham Norton skulking in the bushes, firing with a catapult a selection of knickknacks.
Paul, you challenged.
I mean, we didn't really establish that these were brass monkeys, did we? We just had monkey before, so it's not really brass monkeys, so it's not on the subject, so it's deviation.
Yes, we're on the subject of chimpanzees.
I tell you, that doesn't...
I've got to speak to the audience here. If you're going to boo every challenge...
I thought that was an impressed ooh. I don't think they thought, oh, quel challenge.
We're not doing this for your benefit, you know. We are.
I think, as always...
We'll do it in the car outside.
Yeah.
No, Paul, I think there's a justified challenge of deviation, so you take over the subject. There's half a second to go. And you have brass monkeys starting now.
You shouldn't put brass on monkeys.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Paul Merton. So Paul Merton, Sue Perkins and Graham Norton are all equal with 2 points at the end of the first round. Isn't it exciting? And Sue Perkins, will you take the next round? The subject now is all the tea in China. Interesting expression. Please talk about it. If you can, 60 seconds starting now.
Not for all the tea in China is my grandmother's favourite expression, alongside what's the point of view and he's not your real father, you know. All delivered while supping from a large vat of absinthe and sucking mincemeat through her teeth, which is a speciality of the Perkins household. It's a strange phrase, this one. It implies an enormous quantity. All the tea in China, a vast expanse of growing material. However, with climate change, one can only presume that this is reducing incredibly. And so one will have to look for more great sayings that imply an enormity of stuff.
Graham, you're challenged.
Repetition of saying.
Yes. Ooh.
Ooh.
All this saying, yes.
Ooh.
That was an odd response. What did that mean?
I think that was an audience ooh rather than a boo. And so they were suitably impressed, Graham.
Were they? Were they?
With the correct
answer. I think actually they're thinking, right. I wonder if he's right.
And so...
Because that's what I'm wondering.
So, Graham, you have all the tea in China.
Have I?
No, you don't have. You have the subject.
Okay.
All the tea in China. And 26 seconds available starting now.
I would need all the tea in China if I were going to have the chimps tea party of my dreams.
Sue Chan.
Repetition of chimps.
No, that was in the other round, Sue.
Well, I'm carrying it on. It's in my mind.
We can't be challenged on every single word we've ever said in just a minute, George. That's going to make it really difficult. Yeah.
If you challenge on a word he's used in another round, as you say, we'd never get going at all, would you?
I was testing you, you silver fox.
I have to listen to every word. Clement, no, where are you?
Clement. Listens to every word.
I have to explain to our listeners immediately that Sue Perkins is sitting in the chair.
I'm not Sue Perkins, I'm Kenneth Williams.
Normally occupied by Clement Freud, and so it was instinctive for me to say Clement then rather than Sue Perkins. So Sue Perkins in Clement Freud's chair.
Sue, you've been mistaken for a man in his 80s.
Yes. I tell you, it feels good. It really does.
Sue, sorry, incorrect challenge. So
just look at me very carefully through the enormous prisms that are your glasses.
Sue, I wasn't using my eyes. I was using my brain. It just came out of the top of my head.
Some of us can use both at the same time.
That's what I will try and do. It's quite a good tip. Thank you very much indeed. So, Graham Norton, an incorrect challenge, and so you have the subject and you have all the tea in China, and 19 seconds starting now.
The trouble with all the tea in China is it stains the apes' teeth quite badly. And they don't like the milk, they prefer a lemon, I've noticed when organising these soirees with my hairy friends. All the tea in China, that must be quite a lot, I'm imagining, because they love tea.
Now, it's a very interesting thing, it's never happened before. Sue and Paul's lights in front of me, which indicate they pressed their buzzer first, have come on together.
No, yes. What happens is, it then passes over to the other player of the game.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
He hasn't said anything so far.
Well, Tony, I'll tell you what I will do there. Because they enjoyed your particular remark, I will give you a bonus point for that. Right. This has never happened before. I thought we might do for a bit of fun, because it's never happened before, and there's only 2 seconds to go.
Okay.
Sue and Paul both speak together for 2 seconds on All the Tea in China, starting now.
All the tea in China is
So, Sue Perkins and Paul Merton were both speaking together as the whistle went, and they both get a bonus point for doing so. And at the end of that round, Graham Norton's in the lead, just one ahead of Sue and Paul, and then comes Tony. And Graham, back with you to begin. The subject now is guerrilla tactics.
I'm delighted.
Will you tell us something about guerrilla tactics, starting now?
Gorillas are fascinating apes. Not as cute as a chimp, but still nice. I'm not quite sure what their tactics are for, but they obviously include picking...
Tony Chance.
Was there a hesitation?
Yeah, there was a little hesitation there, I think, Tony.
That's my first challenge. I apologise to Graham. I had to be completely mean.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Otherwise, in danger of...
He'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
I was in danger of getting the 20 grand fee and not saying much.
It rarely happens when you appear on the show, Tony, but you've held yourself back remarkably well up to this point, and you have 50 seconds now to tell us something about gorilla tactics, starting now.
I have 2 brass gorillas, and I keep them up in the loft with the monkeys that are made of a similar material, and they like to play chess using very clever tactics. They take the pawn, move it forward 2 spaces, the other one sits there appreciatively.
Graham Challenge.
Now, repetition of 2. I'm pretty sure I'm right here.
Yes, he did. He did repeat 2.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes.
There were 2 of the brass gorillas.
And I'm not allowed to do that.
Is it just the opening move you're allowed to move it forward to? I mean, obviously your first gorilla would be able to do that. Your second gorilla wouldn't have that option.
Yes, the whole thing was a nonsense, Tony.
That's just not a very good tactic.
Nobody seems to be asking how these brass gorillas are playing chess. They're made of brass.
It depends on
the type of gorilla. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a chimp, then he moves like a knight, you know, 1 to the side and 2 forward. And if it's an ape, he moves like the rook, straight up or straight across. And the queen, I know nothing about. So. you had a correct challenge of repetition, Graham, and you have 36 seconds. Gorilla tactics starting now.
Gorilla tactics are presumably just to get more food. So they pick their nose and pleasure themselves in a tire in zoos. This is so people find them adorable, when in fact they're just huge. They scream. Why? They only eat leaves. What are they trying to frighten apart from David Attenborough? I don't understand. They are vicious creatures, and they have no end.
Paul Challenge.
Did we have creatures before?
I don't think I said it.
No.
No. Tony talked about the creatures.
Oh, that's
attic.
Why I probably heard it then.
So, incorrect challenge, Paul. Graham has another point, and guerrilla tactics still with you, Graham. 13 seconds starting now.
13 seconds can seem like quite a long time.
Paul, you challenged first.
I think it was when Graham went, oh, thanks. No, I suppose we could. That was hesitation.
That was hesitation.
I think it was resignation.
Yes. It was, and all the buzzers went, but yours came on first, Paul, thank goodness, in the sense that it gives me an easy decision. 12 seconds, guerrilla tactics with you, Paul, starting now.
Monkeys are obsessed with fresh breath. So what they do is they have small little peppermint sweets.
Graham Challenge.
Now he's talking about monkeys.
Yeah.
Yes, well,
it's gorillas.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's gorillas.
It's gorillas.
So that is deviation.
Yep.
So you've got it back again,
great.
Graham.
I've taken the curse off it for you. Yeah.
You've got another point, and you're moving forward, you're catching Paul up, and you've got 7 seconds. Go on, gorilla tactics, starting now.
Sometimes in the zoo, you can see the gorillas gathering.
Challenge.
Repetition of zoo.
You've talked about the zoo before.
Yes, I did.
Going there.
Well, let's face it, it's quite limited. It's zoo, jungle, or Tony's attic.
Paul, you got in first. 5 seconds to go on. Guerrilla tactics starting now.
To understand guerrilla tactics in the modern age, you must go to the army. These people are specialists in security.
So Paul Merton once again was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point, and he's still in the lead, ahead of Graham Norton in second place, then Sue Perkins, and then Tony Hawks. And Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is the orchestra pit. There's no orchestra pit here, but you know it well. Talk about it if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
The orchestra pit was an ancient gladiatorial arena where the emperors of Rome watched as flautists versus bassoonists in the most disgusting, vicious spectacle. The harpists would then turn up, and they were the most evil of all. The great lord ruler of the ancient
world... Tony challenged.
I think she said evil twice.
That's interesting, isn't it, everyone?
You seem to be the only one here out of 1,700 people.
I have to say that the evidence isn't looking too good. The audience response, unless there was collective deafness.
No, I was doing a very quick recall through my mental capacities, and I didn't hear the evil repeat.
We're safe as houses then.
Yeah. Okay. Sue, incorrect challenge. 45 seconds on the orchestra pit starting now.
The orchestra pit is a large hole in front...
Graham challenge.
She's talking about the orchestra put.
You did say...
I've got a sort of Croydonian burr. It's quite hard for people to understand.
They're like poodles, aren't they?
No, I don't think that's deviation from English as we understand it, so...
That's my accent you're talking about.
No, it was much nicer to a Bristol accent, actually, orchestra pert. Right, so...
I say much.
No, a benefit of the doubt. I've given it against you before. This is why I'm always fair, Graham. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, so you take over the orchestra pit. 43 seconds, starting now.
The orchestra pit seems like a particularly cruel thing. You study the violin for 15 years. Finally, you're ready to perform in front of an audience. Where should it be? On a golden cushion in a lovely field? No, in that pit. Go on, get in there. Your brother's a miner, you're a violinist, you end up in a pit.
Put Tony Chan.
Repetition of violinist.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Yes. So, Tony, you've gone in with 25 seconds on the orchestra pit, starting now.
The orchestra pit is empty tonight. They are all in St. Paul's and Horfield, two areas of Bristol I researched before the show and haven't used. However, I have got myself a needless and unnecessary laugh from saying that. I wanted to play in an orchestra pit, the violin, any...
If I'm to be disallowed my put, then a prit, surely.
Absolutely, Sue, completely fair, hoisted on his own petard almost, but it does illustrate to our listeners the difficulty of keeping going under pressure in this game. So pit became prit, and you got the benefit
of it. It could have been worse.
No, there's always one in the orchestra.
So, Sue, you've got the orchestra pit. No, you haven't. You've got the... the orchestra pit. 7 seconds, starting now.
I entirely agree with Graham. I believe that the young musician should be brought onto the stage and the actors and actresses should be cast into the dark bowels below.
So, Sue Perkins was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's moved forward. She's still in third place, but she's moved. But she's only two behind Graham Norton, and he's a couple behind Paul Merton, and they're all three a few ahead of Tony Hawks. No disrespect, Tony, because you've often triumphed in the past in the show. And Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is the Gold Rush. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The Californian Gold Rush happened, I believe, around about the 1870s, and Charlie Chaplin made a film called The Gold Rush, which was released in 1925, and...
Tony Challenge.
No, I thought he'd repeated 19, but he was 1870s, you said,
yeah.
The first
time. Yes, 1870s, yes.
Yes, no.
It's one of those things, if you play regularly, they think that 19's coming up twice.
Yes, I thought, yes. I was going to be clever.
Yes.
And I wasn't.
So, Paul, an incorrect challenge, and you have 52 seconds to continue on the Gold Rush, starting now.
When he re-released the movie in 1914...
Yeah. One of the pitfalls of Just a Minute, dates. Tony anticipated it, but he got it right that time. Tony, you're in there with 49 seconds on the gold rush starting now.
There is something of a gold rush going on in Britain at the moment with this government, who are desperate to have gold medals in the Olympics when it comes here. They are cutting money from the arts and pumping it into useless events that nobody really does, just so that they can do well in the table that comes out on the thing, the list.
Sue Perkins, you challenge.
Hesitation running out of steam a bit, and repetition of they about 7 times.
Which one do you want? You can't have 2 challenges.
Can't I?
No. Which one?
Which one do you think?
Some great show. Which one are you going to pick?
No, there was no hesitation.
No, they. You said they a lot.
No, there was no hesitation. So, Tony, you can't whip the audience up to be all on your side.
Trust me. It's not if I have to take them out one by one, whip them up.
You don't have to do that. They're with you anyway. But, Tony, an incorrect challenge. 30 seconds on the gold rush starting now.
When they first...
to Graham challenge.
Repetition of they.
Yeah, you had they before. You should have started
I shouldn't
Tony.
Have done that.
Oh, gosh.
It's quite hard not to say they.
I know. It's a tough, tough game. And with tough players as well, it's even more nail-biting. 29 seconds. The gold rush with you, Graham, starting now.
It's hard to imagine what the gold rush was like, but presumably it was similar to the opening day of a new IKEA store. Thousands of people running aimlessly towards something. The Klondike, I believe. What a lot of gold there must have been. I can say gold, can't I? Yes, I can, because, of course, that's part of the subject. The gold rush, to give it its full name, was what they did.
Sue,
repetition of name.
You mentioned the name before. So, Sue, you listen well, and you have the gold rush with 6 seconds starting now.
Strangely, they opted to pan for gold with a sieve, which is the most unlikely implement, presumably all that they had to hand.
Right, so, so let me give you the score, because we're moving into the final round. It's a very strange noise.
They're going to use these audience noises forever now. I need 1,700 people being slightly surprised.
I don't know if it was an ooh or a boo or an orgasm. It really was a very...
You've been visiting those women again.
So, I'll give you the situation as we go into the final round. Tony Hawkes, who's done very well on many occasions in the past on this show. No, don't.
I've done very well on this occasion, Nick.
You've done magnificently. You've leapt forward. You're still in fourth place, but you have leapt. You're not many points behind Sue Perkins, and she's only 2 behind Graham Norton and Paul Norton, who are equal in the lead at this moment, as we begin the last round with Graham, and the subject is the missing link. Tell us something about that subject in this game, if you can, starting now.
Somewhere in the mists of time, Mr. Ape stopped being that and turned into a human being. Who was the missing link? That's what I long to know, ladies and gentlemen. Often I can't sleep. I have to stay up and watch those terrible quizzes on ITV because it bothers me that we don't know the name of the missing link.
Sue challenge.
Repetition of no.
You don't know, that's it, yes. You don't know who the missing link was.
I think it was Harold Peters.
Was it?
The name of the missing link was Harold Peters.
Yeah. Oh, really? I must write this down.
Yeah. He came out, he went into the cave and ape and he came out as an estate agent. Harold Peters, the missing link.
That's a step backwards.
It is a step backwards. Evolution gone mad.
So, Sue Perkins, a correct challenge, a point to you, the missing link, and you have 38 seconds starting now.
In the beginning was primordial soup, which I believe was chicken and mushroom flavoured. Then some electricity went in it from a source who knows where. That came from another planet.
Paul challenge.
Oh, well, we haven't got to the missing link yet.
Coming.
Yes. I don't mind waiting.
I've got to take
currently it is missing.
Yeah.
No, but she has gone for nearly 10 seconds without establishing this missing link. So I think it's justified by saying, as I said before...
I was taking you on a rich journey, Nicholas, about the beginnings of time. And if you don't have the time to listen to it...
But, I mean,
Sue,
millions of years
just a minute. You can't do the beginning of time.
I think in just a minute...
We'd have to play just a millennium.
I think 10 seconds. Anyway, I think the trick of the show is to establish immediately the link before you start talking about it. Otherwise, you are going to commit one of the crimes of just a minute. And this occasion, Paul got in first with 29 seconds to go. The missing link starting now.
I have a beautiful necklace at home, but sadly I can't wear it because there is, of course, a missing link. When I tried to put it on the other day, I gazed in the mirror and I thought to myself, I have never been lovelier. And then I realised, as I reached my jewellery box, that I couldn't put it on because the missing link...
Tony Challenge.
Was there a repetition of put it on?
Or my yes, thing. You did put it on before, that's right. Well, listen, Tony.
That's a nice image, though.
I look very good in the necklace, don't I, Nicholas, don't I?
You look lovely in it, but I would have thought it was deviation from what we imagined.
You gave it to me.
Oh.
Do you remember giving me that pearl necklace, Nicholas?
I thought you would never tell them, Paul. I thought it was our little secret. Oh, there we are.
Oh, now that's a picture.
And there we are. So, Tony, you had the correct challenge. You have 10 seconds. The missing link starting now.
I agree with the theory Paul Merton has on this subject that the missing link is a man called Harold Peters, who went into a cave as a primordial figure and returned shortly afterwards as a...
So Tony Hawks was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He has moved forward. I'll give you the final situation. It's very fair, it's very even. Only 1 point separates all four of them. So in ascending order, it was Tony Hawks, then Sue Perkins, then Graham Norton, and then one ahead, Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, one ahead makes you the winner this week. Congratulations. For me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Graham Norton and Tony Hawks. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so magnificently. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to our producer, to Lucia Gilani. And we are also very grateful to this amazing audience here in the Colston Hall in Bristol, who have really expressed themselves with fervour. And made it a memorable occasion. So from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And there'll be more Just a Minute shenanigans with Nicholas Parsons at 6:30 next Monday evening, when he'll be joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Marcus Brickstock and Jenny O'Clair.